want to share some information to you today that we've been collecting in Mississippi and looking at available land and how it might fit in or how does it apply to variable rate nitrogen fertilization of cotton. There's been a precedent for finding increasing residual land in cotton when there's excessive rates, reducing cotton yields when there's excessive rates in the soil or excessive levels of nitrate in the soil. Out of this in Arkansas, they actually recommend soil sampling at one time. They've had a program in that and they did soil testing for nitrate. They've recommended adjusting rates for water quality purposes, etc. In 2003, a Mid-South study that collected data, Alabama, Tennessee, including some of my data from Mississippi and such, we established leaf end sufficiency values. And we found fairly good results in identifying throughout the season where leaf tissue end should be at particular stages of growth and as they relate to yield. Of course, this thing keeps repeating itself, increasing yield response with increasing soil nitrate, but eventually a decreased response to fertilizer N. Missouri had some of the lowest residual N levels I've ever seen of 20 pounds in a 0 to 18 inch layer and then up to 40 for a little bit heavier sandy to silt loam soils. In Mississippi, they found years ago increased residual N with increasing N rate and then yield declines by the third year. So this is fairly typical, unlike what I see a lot in corn is, you know, you can get away with that excessive N rate application. In cotton, you pay the price. You grow rank cotton, you increase insecticide costs, you increase growth regulator costs, you increase defoliation costs. These are all chemicals, chemical after chemical being applied when we have excess nitrogen. So they just compound their problems when they put excess nitrogen in. And you can see Zielinski and Weir in California, similar type thing. They found soil testing down to about 36 inches. So when we've gone into some fields in Mississippi, this is actual producers' fields. I'll let them put the nitrogen rate out, put their nitrogen out and such. And so we just went in right after planting, actually before they fertilized, and looked at the spatial nitrogen distribution on a half acre grid. And the good thing, good news about, you know, some of the good news out of this study, of course, there is spatial N, it's spatial variability in nitrogen. The good news is it's fairly normal distribution that we find, and these are Mississippi Delta alluvial soils that I'm talking about here. But if you look, minimum 16, maximum 104 kilograms of N per hectare. This is a 2 foot depth in this case. And the second year after that, 26 minimum, upwards to as high as 140 kilograms N per hectare. It's a lot of nitrogen. It's a lot of variability. What are the producers doing? They're putting 100 pounds on top of this. Is it adjusting for the variability in the field? No. It's just increasing, you know, putting everything at a higher level. The average, though, however, you know, looks good. The mean, median, fairly close. But so we're somewhere around 50 to 70 pounds average in the field, and the majority of those samples fall within that range, and it's good to see that distribution. So I just want to set up what I'm going to talk about here with that information. Our objectives in this study, because of some of the literature as well as what we've been seeing, was to determine leaf end and cotton lint yield response to varying residual soil N levels as well as fertilizer rates. And the purpose of this study was to use this information, hopefully, for interpreting the yield response to and leaf end response, et cetera, for variable rate and fertilization. That was the intent, to build a database. Not necessarily to do variable rate nitrogen application, but to build the database. So we're at Mississippi State, the location here. The Marietta silt loam, the way I describe this soil, it's the closest soil I can get to in East Mississippi that's on campus that's similar to a Mississippi Delta soil without having to travel to the Delta. Very good cotton soil. It's actually in what's called the Black Belt of Mississippi. Tillage, I'm not going to talk to you about the 2000 data. That was when we established the experiment and to get rows right and everything like that. For the no tillage, we went ahead and straightened everything out in 2000. But I will discuss the 2001 and 2002 data with you today, which is all no tillage. Not many people in here are cotton people, but those were the varieties. They are Bollgard and Roundup Ready, type varieties. Planting dates here, I know you won't be able to remember this stuff, but this was, you know, of course, the end of April here, so we're planting end of April, first week of May or so. So try to keep that in mind a little because some of the timing of the fertilizer. Basically, what I'm going to talk to you today is about two different types of two different scenarios here. What I'm calling residual end treatments is we wanted to make sure we had a broad range in residual end when we went and took soil samples at planting time. So how we did that is we applied 0, 35, 35 kilogram increments up to 105. And if you see the dates, March 26 and then April 4th, both those periods after applying these broadcast ammonium nitrate rates of nitrogen, we had about 2 inches in 2001 and 2 inches or so in 2002, not quite, just below 2 inches. So we had some rain to wash the fertilizer in. It's ammonium nitrate. In our area, we're warm at that time. It nitrifies very rapidly. This is over a month before planting, so we're assuming it's nitrate, and it's in the profile. We didn't apply it in January, February, because we actually didn't want it to leave the soil and go too deep. So that's why my timing in late March and early April. Then, just using the zero residual M plots, in factorial combination, I had rates in 45 kilogram M per hectare increments with broadcast ammonium nitrate. And we typically do a 50-50 split after planting and then early square. Now, key to this in terms of the dates, the soil samples both years were taken after planting, prior to any of the in-season fertilization. And yes, we went down to 3 foot, about 90 centimeters, and yes, there's not a lot of farmers that are going to do that, but bear with me here. We did it to 6-inch increments down to the 2-foot level, and then the 3rd foot level is a 12-inch step. KCl extract, ammonium nitrate, etc. Leaf samples we take off the main stem, 5th node down, and we did multiple dates, but I'm going to just present to you today the early square data, and then total N content of the leaves. Well, if we take out fertilizer as a confounding factor in this whole scenario, and we just look at the residual N levels in the soil. These are to 3 foot depth, these nitrogen levels, and we look at relative yield between the years. Notice where we're at. To optimize yield, we can kind of say, you know, we need about 100, 125 kilograms of N per hectare to produce 90% or so maximum yield. So keep that in mind. This is without fertilizer confounding anything. Of course, our squares aren't 0.9 or anything, but you wouldn't expect that, especially with measuring available soil and nitrate for the most part. All right. Well, how does this relate, the residual soil N in the soil after planting? How does it relate to leaf N? Well, we get fairly good relationships there between available soil N at planting to the leaf tissue end at early square. If we look, well, how is leaf N related to yield? Well, in 2001, it wasn't so great. A little bit better in 2002. I will say in between planting and these leaf samples at early square, there was 6.5 inches of rain in 2001 and only 2.5 inches of rain in 2002. So I'm quite sure that had some effect here. We had more biomass grow, more dilution of the nitrogen, et cetera, because you can even see the range of leaf end values a little bit lower in 2001 versus 2002. Okay, well, moving on, what kind of response did we get to the fertilizer rates that we put out there during the season? And fairly good R-squares. Of course, I'm just plotting the means there, but I just want to know the response and just want to get the production function out of this, all right? Similar optimums would have been predicted, slightly different, but not enough to mean to be too meaningful there. So somewhere around 125 to 135 or so would have produced the agronomic maximum, not the economic maximum. Of course, it would have backed off. It's somewhere around 90 to 100 would have been the economic maximum both years. But I just wanted to demonstrate that we have a response to fertilizer and to fertilization and about what rate that is. All right, so if we're actually trying to build a database, maybe using something like leaf tissue N as a reflection of what that available soil N is, if we don't want to take deep soil samples, how are we going to get at that available soil N? Well, the plant is a good reflection of that available soil N. So if we look at 2001 versus 2002, this is in-season fertilization at that residual N at early square. We can fairly identify it's Unfortunate, of course. Well, in a way, it's fortunate to see that there are differences, that rainfall distribution could make this target move a little bit. But it also does say that there is an optimum leaf tissue end each year. And in 2001, it was somewhere around 4.2% leaf tissue end. And in 2001, and then in 2002, it was about 5%. So keep those two numbers in mind, the 4.2 as well as the 5, especially 4.2, because I'm going to use that a little bit along the lines here. Now what I'm doing here, this is a little bit different plotted here. This is taking that available soil end and adding it to our fertilizer end rate. Okay, so this is the sum of available soil end plus the fertilizer end rate plotted versus lint yield. Not a great relationship in 2001. And this is cotton data. Some years we get great relationships and some years we don't get very good. But notice 2002, we get a little bit better relationship. And if we were predicting the sum, if we had to add fertilizer end together to the available end that was already there at the season, this would have been somewhere around 160 or so. This one was climbing, but not as good. The prediction equation is not as good, saying somewhere around 200. Of course, I wouldn't trust it as much in 2001. All right. What if we, though, however, use that leaf tissue nitrogen or the plant, that's our fuel gauge here, instead of looking at the available, we're still using available soil end here too, but related to the leaf end. Notice what happens here in both years. We use that 4.2, that was the optimum in 2001, and we use the 5 as an optimum in 2002, and what do we get? We get about the same optimum sum of available soil end plus fertilizer end. Okay, so that's fairly consistent, the sum adding the fertilizer in to the available soil end, and it's somewhere around 125, so keep that in mind, about 125 kilograms of N per hectare, all right, the sum of the two. All right, well, let's look at if we want to calibrate those leaf tissue ends, if we could predict it somehow, and there is a way, or we actually go out and spatially, you know, sample leaves, et cetera, we can do that too, but not many people are going to do that. Well, we relate leaf tissue end, we turn the axes around, and we use leaf tissue end, and we model the fertilizer. What fertilizer end rate do we need? Okay? So I take my regression equations here, and I'm going to use this one here just as a matter of example. I'm saying in 2001, my optimal was somewhere around 4.2, and there's published leaf end values that we can use, and we can hone in on this. We can start to get to the bullseye in the target. Otherwise, we're just putting end rates out. You heard what, you know, how the producers do it in Iowa. You know, it's what end rate they feel good about in the field. But, you know, can they do better? Yes, I think they can do better. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying I think we can do better, but we need a tool to help us do better here. All right, so we take that may be an optimum like 4.2. We use take the difference between the predicted fertilizer end rates to achieve target leaf end and then what the actual leaf end is in a certain spot in a field. All right, we plug them into the equation, we come out, and we see for this site, if we had a target of 4.2 leaf end and we actually found, say, 3.8% in the field somewhere, it would predict we need 85 kilograms N per hectare, and the variable rate N applicator would put out that 85. Our option two is to use that optimum soil test end value that I shown you earlier that was pretty good of needing about 125 to 130 kilograms N per hectare to establish that optimum available N. So if we actually did our soil testing and we knew what our available N, we could use this target value and the difference, say if you had 50 kilograms of N out there, 50 minus the 130 at that site, the applicator would put 80 out. Of course, you ask the question, well, how are you going to get these maps? How are you going to do it? Well, you've seen a lot on sensors lately, and we've done a lot of sensor work in that area. And this example on the left I'm showing you is using an on-the-go sensor. We've been building a model predicting leaf end, or what I'm calling end biomass. And so we can map these. I know it's hard to see here, but these are actual leaf end values being predicted as I'm driving across the field. So if I'm predicting my leaf end, I've got a model to apply the N out the back, I'm making a decision based on the surrogate measurement here, which is the sensor is doing it for me, You know, you can get even more specific if you want and wanted to go out and do a few leaf samples and co-krieg and, you know, use a map like this. You know, you can get real fancy like that. But I think this is going to be good enough. It's going to do better than what we're doing. Another example how we're using some of that soil sampling, because you're not going to go out and grid sample a 3 foot, although I've seen people do it, you know, on a couple hundred acres, but it's not going to be done routinely, is you use aerial imagery like this. And we have found pretty stable that the greener areas that grow better are what we call our ice cream soils in Mississippi. The cotton jumps out of the ground and grows almost too fast. And year after year, we find higher available N in these areas. So you take your image, and similar to, I think, what they're doing in Iowa, you take that image, although we're using it, an image, say, from this year for next year to sample in the spring, you pick out your spots, you do some zone sampling, and just go to a few areas in this field next spring and sample. Get your available N levels, use this image as a map, and put out nitrogen. And there's actually, that's going on some, and it's been saving some folks some money as far as reducing their N rates. Okay, so in conclusion, relationships between available soil N and leaf N and lint yield suggest calibrations can be developed to increase N fertilization efficiency. Combination of available soil N plus fertilizer N rate calibrations with leaf N or lint yield appear useful for variable rate and algorithm development. If there's any time, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
If this is the last presentation, we can take a couple of questions.
Have you thought about using the land in front of the land?
That's possible, but typically, Bill, like the, you know, that one field I showed you on the right, that image, we have the ramp, you know, it's already kind of there in the field, because many of the fields, you know, you'll find those areas that are the greenest, they're usually excessive. So, I mean, in a sense, you'd be, pardon me?
It would identify the rank growth, which could avoid that.
Certainly you could, but that'd be later in the season, you know, and you'd be identifying the rank growth. Of course, I'm a proponent of, yes, you can use something this year, maybe for next year, you know, also, so. And we have done, you know, rates of N across that field there that you saw. They were actually in that image. So it was a ramp in a sense there, same thing. And sure, you know, the ramp could be used. I think anything that can get you closer to the bullseye, I think, is what you're trying to hit too, Bill, you know, in your work.
Any more questions? If not, thank you for coming this session on nutrient variability and management. Enjoy the rest of the evening, and thank you for again coming. Thank you.